Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and here's my co-host, Tracy Mahan, and we're so excited to be back. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy
New Year, yeah. Happy
New Year, oh my gosh. And as I was saying to Tamara earlier, we made it. we're here, because I bet there was some questioning about that. Are we actually going to make it into the next year? And you know, it's something I had to keep telling myself, and I may have even said it on the show at some point. It's like, because I know I kept thinking, 2021 has to be different. Please tell me it's going to be different than 2020. I mean, please. And then something hit me as we were entering into it. And it's like, you know, it has to be different because the numbers are different. So if nothing else, the energetic, you know, system of the numbers is changing. So that's got to be shifting something. So yeah. That and it was like one way or another, it's going to go some way, but it's not going to stay the same. And so anyway, and that's where I think we touched briefly on that before, but we're really going to touch on it tonight. Mm-hmm. and we have here as our wonderful guest, Tamara, who is, oh my gosh, you are, have wonderful, wonderful information. We've gotten so many comments on what you said before and the other one. And we probably want to talk about that first. We were going to talk about that, about the conjunction of the planets and how, what happened there and stuff. So anyway, first of all, welcome aboard, Tamara, before I go rattling off, because we're
it's and I'm the one that went to get the coffee.
I think I'm getting it vicariously from you. Yeah, so anyway, thank you so much for being here again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, so we were all leaving the last show. That was the last one we did of the year. And we had homework assignments, correct?
Absolutely, yes. So who went out to the night sky? Who stepped outside? Now, I stepped outside, but I have to tell you, it was pretty cloudy. I didn't get to see a darn thing.
That was I my had experience, too. And then, yeah. But on the, was it the... The next night, I think it was, it cleared up
for just a couple of days.
Like, it was almost like there was just this one little spot that said, here's the moon, here's your chance. And I did get to stand out there for just a tiny bit in that. But it was cold and wet and miserable. So,
yes. Well, I had a clear sky, but I wasn't really sure. And see, and I thought, now this should be bright enough for me to be really sure. And so, but other people I talked to, even my brother who doesn't live that far away from me, he saw it. So, okay. But I'm in the valley. I'm kind of just below him in the valley. And I thought, well, maybe it's something with that, but he had no problem seeing it.
So, excellent. Yeah. Yes. And if you go on to the internet, obviously there's all kinds of film, you know, of people seeing it, and some pretty interesting films of people seeing, you know, the actual coming together. And it was pretty awesome. And really, you know, it is energy. So even though we didn't see it, hopefully we could feel it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's kind of what I did, was like, that was our other thing. We said, well, even if you can't see it, let's just, you know, go ahead. And it doesn't really matter the time, you know, we're all doing this, we're all experiencing it. So I did participate in that. You know, it's like, I'm out here and I'm enjoying you, and I know others are too. And so I was doing that business.
Lovely.
I went and isolated myself in my room and did crisscross applesauce and everything like this. And I actually just was just sitting with the energy and doing that, because I was in the raining clouds. But it took me about maybe 2 minutes. And then I finally felt like I just really connected with that energy. And then it just felt like I thought I was just smiling, and I'm like, just in this blissy energy. So it was really good energy that night. But then I have to tell you, the crazies started coming out afterwards. And I hope you can explain that for us. What happened the last few days? People have been crazy.
People have been crazy these last few days.
None of the people watching this show.
No. The other people.
Other people. Literally, it's like, dude, is there something going on? Is there a solar flare? Is there a meteorite? Is something going on? Because it was like, it was on high. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, there's always stuff going on. You know, we never have never have really a silent sky, do we? It's always moving. It's always changing. We're moving from a new moon to a full moon constantly. So we're getting, you know, all those phases, all the energy from that. And of course, with these big conjunctions and this isn't the, you know, that great conjunction wasn't the last of it, and it wasn't the first of it. You know, we'd had a really big one in January preceding, you know, in like 2020, the January 2020, we had that huge conjunction as well, which I talked about last year. So yeah, it's, and the other thing that we have to remember is that there is no line drawn in the sky. So the energy kind of like melds in together and, you know, it does its thing and then it moves, you know, continues to move along its way. So we don't have, you know, the world is ending kind of thing. I mean, we do sometimes run around thinking that, but it's not, we're okay. You know, we made it through the first of the year. We made it through the great conjunction. And we have more to come this year. It's a very dynamic year this year. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And as always, you know, these are cycles. So I don't want people to be listening to, you know, sometimes people get kind of wild and crazy out there. Even the astrologers will get wild and crazy with their predictions. And, you know, especially lately, because of this last January, you know, the great conjunction we had of Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn that I talked about, where most of us really looked at the finances of the situation and, you know, kind of give some forewarning about that. There was a few people that obviously did do their look back through history and thought, you know, this looks like it might be another big virus. And, you know, they were predicting a little bit about that. So sometimes the astrologers do like to go off the deep end and say, oh my God, the world is ending. We've got this stuff coming up, and it gets pretty intense out there in some of the things that they say. And I want people to remember there's a skilled and unskilled level, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And if you're feeling that intense energy, it means that you need to take that moment. You need to pause and you need to move to a skilled level of receiving and giving in that energy. Because, there can be wild and crazy things going on around us, but it's all about our reaction to that energy. So that, I want to remind everybody about that, because they are going to hear some stuff. They're going to hear that we've got 3 big conjunctions coming up this year that are going to be very dynamic. And again, how are we going to use that energy? How are we going to step into it? Not in a fearful way. We want to step into it, you know, bravely and like grab on to that opportunity. These configurations that happen sometimes, well, like we know that last configuration, the great conjunction, was 800 years ago. You know, so yeah, it's a cycle, but it's a huge cycle, you know, not something we're going to experience every day. So these conjunctions that are coming up this year are a greater cycle that we're not going to experience all the time. You know, this is something that hopefully, my hope is that it's going to propel us forward into, you know, into maybe some new things that we haven't tried and new things that we haven't done. Because who wants a boring old year, right?
No. Why do I feel like I should be taking notes? should we be taking notes at this?
No. We don't want to, but we don't want to go into it fearfully. And I have some ideas, I think, about how we can use some of this energy this year, especially with the year we just experienced. And, you know, everybody is saying, thank God 2020 is over. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully that, you know,
it was okay to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
It was very good. Yeah. Everything was different. Ted. You know, so it was like very, very different. It was wonderful for me too. It was just like, but it was like things were happening that I was pushed into, things I'd been wanting to do.
Yeah.
And I was very productive, but it was stuff that I might not have done if I wouldn't have been pushed into it, or it would have taken me a lot longer. So, and I think that's probably been the case with a lot of people. They've had to completely change their lives, and it was probably something that needed to happen. but they were taking a sweet time about it. And so this is just pushing it.
Mm. Yeah.
Accelerating it, I guess.
And some of us say, welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way I've been living for the last, I don't know how many years. And it was really quite normal for me. Maybe, I mean, not, you know, I mean, people around me might have said, yeah, well, you didn't leave your house for 6 months at a time. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes that happens. That's kind of my world. You know, yeah. I like when I travel, I like to travel. I like to see everybody. And then, you know, and then I kind of hunker down and get her done. And yeah, I mean, I work at home, you know, I work at home. I, you know, all my work is on the computer. So, but some people certainly struggled with that, especially the people who are super social, you know, who need to have that interaction outside of their, you know, their environment. And I know a lot of people, you know, suffered in the sense of, you know, not being able, like, well, for instance, if you have always gone to an office building, and all of a sudden now you're having to get up at the same time every day, do the same amount of work that you did or more sometimes is expected. And rearrange, you know, and you've got kids and you've got dogs and cats and, you know, and the cleaning and the laundry is sitting there. If you aren't used to, you know, sort of organizing yourself and dealing with that on a day-to-day basis, it can be very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very overwhelming. But that's what we dealt with. That's what we had for 2020. And that's what the Jupiter Saturn Pluto conjunction brought us. And like you said, Julia, I think that a lot of people did things that they never imagined that they would do or that they were putting off. I don't think we need to do that yet. And all of a sudden, yes, you do, Julia, you need to do that.
Yeah.
Now.
You know, now.
We're not you need going to get... wait until you get this done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and it did bring, you know, world economic and personal financial crisis, which was a huge wake-up call for a lot of people financially. But, you know, maybe reconfiguring our thoughts on those monetary things, you know, so maybe getting a little better handle on our finances and not as much, you know, sort of finances in the sky as opposed to like real hard cash, you know, like what's really going on in my finances and, you know, how are you going to make ends meet and whatnot. So I think that this 2020 really made people, even people who, you know, basically their lives haven't changed in a whole, in that greater sense, still the impact, you know, of the environment and, you know, restaurants and businesses that we loved going to, you know, no longer exist and stuff like that. So it's, again, making sure that we do support all of those people as well. You know, when we, hopefully during Christmas, we, you know, tried to do, if we were doing online purchasing, hopefully it was almost local, you know, more, and those shops getting online and learning how to do business that way and right. You know, yeah. All of that. So that's really what that great Jupiter Saturn Pluto conjunction did for us. And then of course, in December, we had this great conjunction, Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius, bringing new ideas of how are we going to deal with our new world? How are we going to move forward? What new rules do we need to make? And that's what's starting to unfold now. We'll see that unfolding all over, you know, 2021. And there's going to be some adjustments. And that's what those what the technical term is that Saturn is going to be in a square, which is tension, with Uranus. Saturn being that planet of organization, of fear, of manifestation. You know, Saturn is the planet that brings us this world, that brings us the flesh and the blood. It's the actual manifesting of energy, that densest sense of energy. And it is in this tension. It's having some misunderstandings with Uranus, which is the planet of sometimes the genius, you know, the guy who invents things. He's, you know, he's got this sort of connection with the higher mind. And the higher mind is a collective mind. That's why, you know, when an invention happens in maybe Canada and the same invention happens in the United States and everybody thinks they brought it first, it's actually just dropped down, you know, to both of them, and they invented it in the way, and all over the world, not just Canada and the States. So that's the planet Uranus, the higher mind, sometimes bringing sudden change, which can be shocking. Oh my God, now I have to deal with this. Now I've got to deal with, you know, computers and, you know, trying to get online and all this, you know, all this stuff that we have to deal with. That's Uranus. So the guy who is in charge of manifesting the densest aspect of energy and the more of a higher collective, yeah, energy, they're coming and they're like at loggerheads. They mm-hmm. both want to be in charge. So that's part of the problem.
My way, my way.
No, right? My way. I know how to do it better. That's what they're saying to each other. But, you know, they are going to have to work it out. So just because there's a little bit of tension, don't let that fear rumble up. You've got to think, okay, how can I work this out? Well, maybe I need to take a computer program, you know, class so that I can understand how to use this better. Maybe I need to take some healing classes so I can understand how to allow that energy to move through me better and not get stuck in that dense energy, you know, that dense Saturn style. So it's about coming to that higher level of understanding and a higher level of using skilled, you know, skilled energy. So that's what we've got going on. There's going to be three big moments in this.
Oh, you muted yourself, Tamara.
Wow. I wasn't anywhere near the mute button. I don't know what happened there, but okay. So that was the higher mind and Saturn having a little bit of tension there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a little bit. Like,
we'll just stop it all.
Yeah, we'll just slow her down a little bit.
They don't need to hear this.
Yes, we do. Yes. So there's these three sort of points in the year that we're going to have this culmination of tension. But again, I want you to remember that even though I'm going to throw out three dates, there is no line in the sky that says, you know, this is going to be the big bang. It's not that. It's leading into it, and you'll feel the tension as we move into it. And hopefully we'll have the resolution as we move out of it. And that resolution is that give and take, you know, that we need to listen to the higher collective mind. But at the same time, we live in the flesh. So therefore, we have to make it practical. We have to make the rules work. We can't just come up with rules that don't work, you know. And I think that's really what this energy is going to be about. It's going to be about exploring new ways of living in our world in a healthy way. And sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it's not going to work.
Okay.
So I think that's really what the three points are going to be about, is really this. And sometimes we're going to push against those rules. We're not going to like them, or maybe the younger people won't like them, or maybe the older people won't like them. You know, there's going to be this mixed feelings about those rules. But again, I'm going to use that word fear, because I think, and that's actually to me a little bit of the theme here. And we have so many healers listening to us today. And one of the things that I want to bring to attention, and I'm sure everybody's already been thinking about this, is the fear that we're now holding on a DNA level, on a cellular, you know, flesh and blood level. We have this new fear that we've never dealt with before. So we've actually got it in our children, you know, so they've had to learn, you know, they've come up with some fear here. Oh, I've got to wear this mask, or I'm going to get sick, or I'm going to make my mom sick, or I'm going to make my grandma sick. So now we have this fear that is like sort of embedded in our bodies. And these little kids now have this fear that, you know, they've had to, I think, like, for little kids to have to wear masks to go to school, it's like a big responsibility that, no other kid ever had to deal with. So, you know, these little kids are going to be like living with that, thinking about that. And you don't know, like there's, you know, little kids have these fearful things in their mind, and, you know, we don't even know that they've got them sitting in their mind. And I think that this year is going to be an opportunity for some deep healing. And I don't want us to forget our kids in that healing process, you know, that we need to release the fear. We need to let go of that fear on the cellular level. We need to make sure that our little kids don't carry that fear, because we don't want them, we don't want this to be generational, you know, where it continues on and on and on. I'm sure, you know, when the Black Plague happened, you know, for the next few generations, there was this fear. You know, nobody really knew what it was, but they knew there was a fear that they, you know, come into a world where they weren't sure about health. So we don't want that. And, you know, because we've got this experience, because we've been able to sort of look at this from a healing perspective, we can release that fear. So that's what I would like us to use these three points for, is refocusing us on releasing that fear. So not letting, you know, Saturn take us down, you know, that dark tunnel. Instead, you know, the higher side of Saturn is about being organized. You know, so we think we get our organization skills from, maybe if you know, you're familiar with astrology, we talk about them all the time, Mercury. Well, Mercury is our data collector, but Saturn keeps us organized, keeps structure. You know, Saturn's about structure. So let's move to sort of that higher level of Saturn as opposed to fear. Okay, well, let's get organized. Let's have group healings. Mm-hmm. You know, that's let's have some structure in the healing work that we do on a greater level. Maybe that's how we'll use that energy. So I'm going to throw out the dates. The dates are January 17th, June 14th, and December 24th of this year. Those are the three points where the culmination of those two planets come into their highest level of intensity, which means they're at exact degrees. They've just come into these exact degrees. And it just culminates that energy. And it doesn't mean anything's going to happen on those dates, just like nothing happened on the Great Conjunction. Mm-hmm. But it's just this flow of energy. It's moving into a culmination. We're going to learn something. We're going to do something. And then we're going to flow out of it. And it is all, you know, cycles. So I want everybody to remember
So let's
that.
Shout out to this group of people that's listening right now and remind them those dates. January 17th, June 14th, and December 24th would be great days for you guys to organize some group healing sessions.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, we've got some good listeners. I know you guys are all, even the ones that are listening later, you know, January 17th, that's only, what, 9 days away?
Yeah.
So, you know, put together something, a collective, you know, now we're all so used to these Zoom calls and everything else. Gather a group of people and focus on healing the planet. That would be
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. And you're going to have the planet Uranus, the collective mind, the higher collective mind is going to be present.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. And he is sitting in Taurus. So he's traveling through the zodiac sign of Taurus. Taurus is very practical. It's practical healing. Mm. It's not pie in the sky healing. It's practical healing. That's why I'm thinking focusing it on sort of like that genetic DNA, making sure that we're not sort of carrying this through generations on the physical, you know, the physical health of the world, of the earth, of our physical bodies, you know, the manifest world. That's why I'm thinking that that would be a good focus for that energy. So yeah, I'm hoping that we can do that. And I think that if we can use this properly, we will see growth. We'll see change and movement. And that's what you want. That's what, you know, Uranus is all about. I mean, if we didn't change, you know, think about the world. If it just if it didn't change, I mean, it's got to change. It's an ever evolving thing. And this is just a natural process for us. And if we step into it, as opposed to, you know, putting those blocks up and digging our heels and, no, I don't want to change. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to do that. Well, maybe if we do that, just as a group, we'll be healthier in the long run as a group of people, you know, as the world, not just, you know, not just about us as individuals. So, you know, I kind of moved this forward. I looked at, sort of moving the planets throughout the year, and, you know, the planets ebb and flow. The reason why there's three hits, we'll call it three, moments of culmination is because the planets, appear to be moving back and forth. Everyone knows what a Mercury retrograde is, right? Everybody's heard about that. We all get to blame. Yeah. We all get to blame everything on Mercury.
Mercury's retrograde. I have a mug that says, sorry for what I do in the Mercury retrograde. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So, but you know, retrogrades are actually opportunity to go over something that you, already did. So it's like the planets are moving forward and then they stop. And this is, of course, just the appearance. The planets don't actually move backward in the night sky, but it's just the tilt of the Earth and the way the planets are moving. They appear to be moving back through the zodiac. So they don't actually move back, but they create this appearance of moving back. And they're moving back through the zodiac. So they start at a point, they're moving forward, they stop, they move back. They stop and they move forward. So they go over these points, and this particular culmination of Saturn and Uranus is based on the retrograde. That's why it hits three times, because, you know, it's going over it, it's moving back, it's going back over it. Well, what is that? That's an opportunity to redo, rework. Anything, a do-over, absolutely a do-over. Rework, redo, reorganize, re-energize.
I get this image of you, Julia, with this big red button where you can hit the redo, reset.
Absolutely, absolutely. So these are wonderful times for us. You know, the first time something happens, it feels a little maybe like you got knocked off your feet a little bit. You feel a little uneasy. Maybe your knees are a little weak. Oh my God, did that just happen? Yeah, it happened. But then when it happens again, you know, you're moving back and you have opportunity to redo that or rework that energy, then, you know, you've got this moment of, oh, that felt a little more comfortable. Yeah, I think I can move forward like that. And then you're going to have your final hit where off it goes again onto that point, and the person is now comfortable.
You're like, no sweat.
Or, or if you dug your heels in the first two times it hit and went, no, I'm not changing. That's when the rug gets ripped up. And down you go.
We've all been there too, right?
We've all been there. We have all been there. Yeah. Where we just refuse to, you know, to embrace the energy. So
is the third time when you go, I give.
That is exactly what it is. So these all the planets are doing this. The outer planets, you know, have retrogrades very long. Sometimes they're 6 months long. So sometimes, like with outer planets, we actually have 6 months of direct movement forward and 6 months retrograde. And then, you know, so it's like one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, two steps back. But if we didn't do that, it would be such a whirlwind. We would be in such chaos all the time. You know, it would be very unnerving. So, you know, it's all for a reason, right? Having these opportunity.
Know that that's kind of what it's about. It's like a do-over. It's like, here, reevaluate what just happened. So it's not like it's a one and done. It's, you can have opportunities to do it better, to do it whatever, to do it different, to learn more.
Yeah. To take those old projects or those old ideas off the shelf and rework them. you know, oh, I wish I had done that, or I wish I had gone to that, or I wish I had taken that healing class. Well, now you have an opportunity to try it again, to do it again, to look at it again, to read that book again. I love retrogrades for that.
What if in the audience here, we've got a gal that somebody that was born in the Mercury retrograde. What kind of effect would that have on a chart? Well, then it's an amazing thing, right?
Yeah, me too. I have a retrograde. I'll tell you one thing I don't like doing. I don't like debating. So a retrograde, a person who is born with a Mercury retrograde often will like to almost be pre-planned. You know, like they like to work it out before they have to, you know, come out in the open and have the conversation. So a retrograde can, on a personal level, can feel like this. It's an inner spiral. A direct is an outer spiral. So a direct motion is like just verbiage coming out with no filter.
Mm.
You know, if you have a retrograde Mercury, which is about communication, oftentimes that person will pause or think before they speak. Not always. I don't always do it. Sometimes I blurt it out too. But it does, a person with a retrograde will often, or, you know, they really do when a retrograde comes along that year, it's like, oh my God, I got so much work done. I went through my email, my files, you know, everybody else is like off kilter, because a retrograde is kind of like beating, you know, you beat your own drum. You kind of like walk with your own beat. You're a little off from everybody else. Everybody else is moving along direct. And you're kind of having this little bit of an inner spiral where the energy comes in, you do something with it, and then you spit it out. So that's what retrogrades are. It's an inner spiral. It's a time to pause, to think, to rework and redo and go, well, what could I have done better? And then, you know, spit it out. It's not always quite that slow. Sometimes, you know, it's like the inner spiral's fairly quick. But I really dislike debating anything, because after the debate, when I sit down, I'm like, oh my God, I could have said this. I could have said that. You know, I have all of these coulda. So yeah. So yeah, retrogrades are perfectly fine. We have lots of people have retrogrades in their chart. It just means that particular planetary energy that you're carrying in your body, because we are all walking, talking universes, right? We all have that chart that has all the planetary influences. So some of the planets have a little more pause, and some of the planets have a little more sort of an outward push in their energy, and maybe a little less tamed, we'll say. Yeah.
Tamara's always very careful with her words. Yeah. Very eloquent with your words.
Because I know I can get myself in trouble. So I try to do that little tiny bit of pause before I blurt out those words. Absolutely.
No kidding.
So, you know, there was another really and also the other thing that I do want us to know is that when we have these great tensions and these great sort of events, there's always good energy, you know, good planetary connections intermingled with those more difficult ones. It's like, you know, you're never going to have just, you know, darkness. There's always darkness with a little bit of light. There's a lot of light with a little bit of dark. I mean, you know, it's like this interplay of energies. So that's the other thing, is that even though we're talking about two planets, there's a whole bunch of other planets that are all, you know, doing their thing and supporting and, you know, trying to help us out with that energy. So those things are always going on. There was this date that I just happened to come across as I was kind of whipping through the planets for the year. And I'm going to watch it and maybe we'll see something brilliant come out of this. It was April 27th. There's this really lovely full moon, and it's not a perfect chart, but it has some really, really nice energy. And there may be a public shift. The moon is about the public, and the moon is very active in all of these configurations this year. When I was looking at them, the moon was up front and prominent. She wasn't hiding behind. The moon is the soul. It is the public. It is our emotional mind, you know, how we feel. And sometimes the emotional mind is very irrational, but it is the emotional mind. And so I just felt that there was a real shift of energy. So we'll see how that goes. That's the other thing that we could say about the Uranus Saturn is that there could be an incredible sudden shift of energy in a very prominent way. You know, something could go away completely. Ah, it could. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
She's leaving the mystery with that.
What could go away? Lots of things.
What?
I just want you guys to think about that.
Let's be open to that.
Yeah, exactly. Because sudden change doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing, right? You know, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. So I want people to be, yeah, to be skilled in their thoughts, to be positive, even though we're not Pollyanna. We're not thinking, oh, everything is, you know, sunshine and roses, even though we do think that. But anyways, yeah, I mean, you know, on some level it is.
That's my world.
Exactly. You know, we're creating
our reality.
Exactly. So that is really, really important when you are dealing with any energy coming towards you. It's always about your reaction. It's always about how you take that energy and where you're going to take it. As a group, hopefully, you know, group consciousness is so powerful. We know that group consciousness can heal in incredible ways. So
that's where we segue back to the audience about January 17th, June 14th, December 24th.
And now April
20th. And now and April 27th for the public show.
Yeah, I just thought that was a really interesting date. It's a really pretty looking little configuration. And I just thought, yeah, I think that might be a really interesting time for sort of a public a public shift or public coming together. You know, there is a lot of, you know, and that energy is wild. I mean, we've just seen some wild energy, you know, coming into January and in the last week. But that doesn't mean that we all have to react that way, right? We can all calm our stuff down and,
no. I want to you talk know, about that for just a second though,
sure.
Because like you're saying, we don't all have to react that way. If something is going on astrologically like that, where there is a little bit of something in the air that makes people a little more intense, that's going to hit everybody a little differently according to their chart, right? So where some people are like feeling blissed out and peaceful and others are feeling like their whole world's coming apart, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And that's kind of a multi-leveled thing. So not only is it how the energy is hitting your chart, but it really is about how you are reacting to that energy. So it's your level of awareness, your level of consciousness. Are you traveling along in your subconscious mind, which, you know, most of us do most of the day, you know, and sometimes the whole day, you know, you just get up and you move through your day and you're not conscious. You're just like moving from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And you're not like consciously being aware of how am I reacting to those around me? How am I receiving that energy? And how am I using that energy in a skilled way? Every planet has an unskilled and skilled level of being. Mars is very active right now with these planets. Mars is actually going to be coming up to that Uranus. Mars is the planet of action. It's also the planet of anger, right? So he's very active right now. It's the warrior planet. It's our physical movement through. It's like our legs, you know, if without Mars, we wouldn't move through the world. So if it's going to be skilled, it's movement, it's action, you know, it's activity. If it's unskilled, it's you know, that warrior on the front line, mm-hmm. you know, cutting off heads and stabbing people, but didn't know why, right? It's like, exactly.
So if somebody's world is falling apart, and I'm as yeah. you see me keep glancing over, I am trying yeah. to watch what everybody's writing in here. And I do want us to participate with what the audience is going through. If someone's world does feel like it's falling apart, that could be a good thing, right? It's like all this stuff that's no longer in serving them in the highest good is ready to move away. And maybe it's that psychic 2x4 that they need to get it out of their energy field, right? That could be a good
yeah, thing. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like that retrograde, you know, the first time it's a little bit of a shock. The second time, if you didn't react, it might be a little more of a shock. The third time, if you didn't let go of that baggage, then yeah, you're going to get, you know, the cattle prod, right? You're going to get the rug being pulled out from under you to say, wake up. Yeah. You know, you yeah. need to let go of this. Lots of times these on a personal level, they can be about letting go of baggage. Mm-hmm. Why are you carrying that heavy load on your shoulders?
Yeah.
You know, maybe the job really was not good for them.
Yeah.
And they need to learn how to, you know, how they need to learn a new career. They need to take a course. They need to, you know, focus their attention somewhere else. And it may be hard and painful. Sometimes the lessons are hard and painful. But when you get to the other side, you're like, oh my God, why was I hanging on to that so hard?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that what you're?
Well, yeah. Raise our hands. Yeah, I've mm-hmm. done that.
Better. Yeah, exactly. And we mm-hmm. and so, we all do it.
So many times, that's what if we could just look at it, because I know some people are going through some really tough times. But it's yeah. like let's be honest with ourselves and look at what you were thinking beforehand and how you really felt about everything that was going on and. Is it really where you wanted to be? Is it really what you wanted to be going on? You know, and I mean, it's going to take some brutal honesty with yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like mine, like I said, I was being forced to do stuff that I had the inclination, I kept getting the messages to do it, but I wasn't listening. I was putting it off. And then finally I was really, I mean, it was like pressure cooker time. It was like, do it now. And I mean, it was a positive thing, but I can see that happening with anything. You know, it's like if you've allowed it to, you know, because it's so much easier to stay in the comfort zone and stay, you know, so much easier. I get it. I've done it. So that moving and changing is not comfortable. No. You're going to be out of your zone for a while, but then it shifts and it moves and it's okay. But yeah, in the meantime, it can be a bummer. It can be a wreck.
So, for instance, talking about the financial crisis that lots of people have been going through on a personal level, not just a world level, but, you know, personally, people have been having a financial crisis. And, you know, is that because they needed to look at their spending? Like, are they, you know, it's that thing about, like not living beyond your means, but what are you spending your money on? Right. And, you know, really not taking that,
yeah,
not just downsizing, but not using the plastic as much, mm-hmm. which is false money. Remember, we talked about false money. And that is, I think, one of the biggest lessons of last year is that idea of false money. Let's not. And if you have gotten yourself into that habit of using false money, then it's time to really pull your socks up and go, okay, now, how can I get out of using this? And it might take you a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is where the universe is just helping.
Sometimes they're just helping you.
It
yeah.
just has to take it away to make you really change what you do.
Yeah. And maybe you will downsize. Yeah.
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 Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all, it's all about that. It's, you know, looking at how can I make a better life for myself that's more authentic, you know, that I'm doing things I love to do. You know, maybe you had the big corporate job and, you know, it was it was good money, but maybe it wasn't feeding your soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the soul was a little parched. And this was that kick out of that corporate life to say, you know, there's other ways of doing this. And yeah, you might have to take courses, you might have to downsize, you might have to reconfigure how you're working, but you will do it. You will figure it out.
Yeah.
If you authentically look, you know, if you take that hard look, but if you, you know, you're like clinging and scraping, I don't want to do it. I want to stay with that. Then it's a little bit harder because you get to the third hit and all of a sudden it's like the world has just fallen out. It's same with people, you know, having people in your life that aren't good for you and not wanting to let them go, but they are, you know, they're not serving a purpose. They're not, you know, they're not help. They're not making your life better in any way. And sometimes you just have to let them go. It's hard.
And sometimes what I'm hearing right now is sometimes that's the lesson is when you start understanding, it's about understanding what's right for you and drawing those lines, those whatever. And it goes with people, things, anything, and any, because it's all energy. And so if we can start learning how to recognize people that aren't maybe energetically where we are or what we want or things like that. See, it's just, it's rather than, well, yeah, but I've been with them all my life, you know, but it's like, we have all kinds of excuses why we have to stay there. Same with the job. I've been there all my life. You know, this is what I do. But it, like you said, but is it fulfilling? Is it making your heart sing? Is it why you're here? Is it fulfilling your purpose? You know, there's more to things. So, and usually if stuff like that's happening, it means you have something calling you in another direction.
Yep.
And that's what I mean about be honest with yourself that you are getting those callings. You do have a yearning to do something else. And usually if you've got to move somewhere else in another direction, I mean, another location, it just means another direction, then you probably do need to let some things go that maybe are holding you into that comfort of where you've been.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. That is what these planets, you know, they're not doing something to us. They're stirring something within us. You know, the energy is already within us. And when something hits one person harder than it hits another, it's just because it's connected, you know, to that person on a deeper level at that time period. Sometimes, you know, things can, you know, fall apart. The world can fall apart and the person is like, yeah, no, I didn't feel that at all. But that's a couple of things. Either it didn't hit anything in them personally. It didn't stir anything up. And perhaps they have become a little more skilled. So it doesn't mean that they're not experiencing the energy. It means that they are, it's how they're experiencing what they're doing with that energy. And that's why I love astrology, because it helps us get to that place. It helps us become conscious of that energy and to be, you know, to have perspective, to be an observer of the energy. And then, like you said, look at, well, why is this not serving me? What if I have this drama happening in my life or this these issues happening in my life, then let's take a step back, you know, and take a look at what that energy is trying to tell me and then move forward.
See what I mean by the eloquence? See how she just said it compared to how I just said it? It's so, so beautifully. Where I just go, bling, bling. I don't think I was born in a Mercury retrograde.
I don't think so. No, I don't know, but maybe you were. I don't know. It's you know. But it's not all peaches and cream on a Mercury retrograde either. Believe me, when somebody asks you a question on the spot and you're like a deer, what? I need to answer that.
Give me a minute.
Give me a minute. Yeah. So that really, you know, was what I wanted to deliver today. was, you know, the fear aspect of it, because it is Saturn. It is, the whole year really has that Saturn kick to it. And I don't want people to get fearful, especially when you're looking at the chaos in your environment. You know, you've got a lot of magical people, a lot of healers listening. You know, do what you know how to do. Center, ground, go inside, listen to your truth meter. We talked about that. That's a big thing this year. Finding the truth, understanding the truth, knowing the truth, and actually knowing how to tell what the truth is for you. Remember, the truth for you might be different for me. How do I know? I got to listen to my own truth meter. So those are important things to remember. How do you get there? Well, you know, you've got to go within. You've got to settle yourself down, you know, ground yourself, become calm. Mm-hmm. And when you're calm, you can hear.
I think you just naturally make us all calm. Yes.
Yes. I mean, I'm just thank you,
like,
Tracy.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, like that. That's what I hope, you know, as the year goes on, you'll hear my voice, you know, inside saying, just take a step back and see what it's all about. Don't be afraid of the planetary energy. Don't be afraid to read about it, because reading about it, listening, learning about it, maybe that's something that you want to do, learn about astrology and how that all works. And
oh, you muted again.
You muted again. That is
wow. Wow, that's wild.
That's random, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is your house haunted?
Oh, it could be. Sure. Why wouldn't it be? It's me.
Why not?
Of course it would be. Sometimes when those things happen to me, it's because it's something really important.
Yeah.
And it stops us from talking. And we have that moment of, ooh, was that must have been important.
What did she say?
Yeah. What did she say? What was she talking about? Yeah. So that can, you know, I want everyone to be their beautiful conscious selves this year. Walk in light, you know, be receptive, but don't allow what you're receiving to throw you off your own game, you know?
Yeah.
There's that balance. You can't let sort of your environmental energy disturb your own personal energy. We are all beautiful, walking, talking universes, all interacting together. Yes. And, you know, doing the best we can with what we came in with.
You know, and I love how you describe each person as their own universe, because isn't that so true? We're all these unique little individual universes, mm-hmm. all commingling. And like you said, my truth may not be your truth or Julia's truth. And when we can just learn to all get along.
Yeah. And that's okay. It's okay that you have a different truth than I have. It doesn't mean that you're right and I'm wrong or the other way around. It just means that, you know, for that individual, that's their truth and they're walking in it. And if we supported each other more that way,
that's where we're heading, right? It's like we're evolving to that, and that's where we're going to find that peaceful place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Honoring each other's truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great, nice little in cap, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Honoring each other's truth.
Absolutely. I do have something, and this is kind of shifting things a little bit. It just keeps coming in, and I wanted to talk about it. I mentioned this to Tracy a few nights ago to see if she had noticed anything. And I don't know if she's been paying any attention since then or not, but if you can see the sky, I'm just saying, I wanted to bring this up because has the moon been doing some interesting things? I mean,
there's that deer in the headlight. Look like
well, let me first ask, I'm going to show my astronomical ignorance here, because I thought, you know, that the moon, especially, I realize the stars all have, everything has its own orbits, right? Their own tracks of whatever they're doing. But the moon is definitely orbiting the Earth. And so it has a track that it runs on and a ton of a timetable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so yep. that, and I realized then you have the equinox, I mean, the different times of the year. So it's going to be maybe at a different part of the sky, like north, south, something like that. But as far as east and west, isn't it supposed to be pretty much in the same place at the same time, every night or every day?
Well, you know, sometimes it's closer to us than other times as well. So okay. that's why, you know, when you get those really big moons,
right?
And you're like, oh my God, how big is the moon tonight? Mm-hmm. It's because it's a little closer to us than, or sometimes it's further away.
Okay, so, but it's usually in the same part of the sky at the same time.
Yes, my deer in headlights. I'm not quite sure.
I'm not watching that.
So yeah.
I'm like, what? Okay. So, yeah, it is, but because of your homework assignment.
Yeah. Oh, you've been outside looking.
You've been looking at the moon.
Yes. I'm out there every night. I mean, I take my dog out to go to the bathroom. So we're going out about the same time every night. Right. So it's like, and so I just look around, I'm looking at the stars, and that got me into, cause though that conjunction was not too far from the moon. So I'm paying attention to where the moon is, you know, it's like, okay, it's there, it's over here. And so that just had me in that place. Okay. So let's say every time I went out, it was like over here to my left, and it was kind of like a left and up. Okay. And I'm like, okay, there you are. Well, then the next night I went out and it's completely over here in the tree line.
Yes. Okay. So there is a reason for that. And my, you know, my retrograde is kicking in and I can't pull up that reason for you immediately. I will get the technical reason and I'll send it to you. But yes, that does happen. I agree. Also remember that if you get up at the same time, you know, if you watch the sunrise every morning, that, you know, that it actually moves, right? So the sun rose over there at this time of year. And then by the time summer comes along, it's over here. So it's the shift of the earth.
That's at the time of exactly the shift of the earth for the time of the year. But I'm talking a span of a week.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to beg forgiveness.
No, no problem. I'm just wondering because I'm like, it's over here. And then the next.
No, you're right. Above, you're right.
And I'm like, and then the next night, this was telling Tracy, because I was like, okay, now I'm really confused because it's straight up above. And now I'm looking for it the next night and there is no moon. And I'm like, and there's still, and the night before it was like a 3/4 moon. So I'm like, okay,
well,
wait.
that is the phases of the moon. So
day to day,
every day the phase will change.
Right. Yes. It was a 3/4 moon, like on the third, on the fourth, there was no moon to be found.
Okay. Well, that it was just like in a different position rising or whatever, but I am going to find out the technical reason for that. And I'm going to send that to you.
And I'm like, okay, I think it does this, but maybe I'm completely wrong. And I'm open to that I don't understand this, but
this actually could have to, it actually could have to do with, it could be that. No, it actually could have to do with declination, because I know that one of the things I was looking at was the declination of the planets over the year. So, you know, we have that band, the Capricorn Cancer band, you know, and all the planets are within that band. And every once in a while, a planet will be out of bounds. It won't be in the bounds of the sun. So the sun, you know, has this, and they'll be out of bounds. Well, the moon in January is out of bounds twice. That might be it. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to check and see if that is the reason why you're getting this wild sideline.
Here to here to gone to what? And I'm like,
yeah. I mean, that it could be declination. I'm not sure. I probably should know the answer, but I don't have it on the tip of my tongue. I'll find out for you.
I'm going to give you the Mercury retrograde grace period to find that out.
Yes, please.
No, has anybody else noticed anything? Because that's where I was like, I never paid attention.
It could just simply be declination, and the moon when it's out of bounds, like that, and all the planets when they're out of bounds are a little more wild, a little crazier. Yeah, they are. They have a little more
wild and crazy planets.
So I'm going to read a couple of comments. We'll see where we go.
Okay.
Okay, so okay.
Maybe somebody out there knows that answer.
Yeah, doesn't it look different because the constellations are looking different because the Earth is moving? Then we go, the Earth rotates as well as the Moon rotates. But then we have the question of why is the Moon fixed on us and we don't see the other side and it doesn't turn?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's always the same side mm-hmm. as it goes around.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'm answers with that? No, my inclination is to say it might be declination. It might be because the Moon is moving out of bounds, but I don't know. I'm going to find out for you. It's an interesting question, Julia.
It's very interesting.
And you know what? I'm so glad that you are noticing your night sky. I'm glad that you're asking that question and I'll go research it and I'll come up with some answers for us so that we know the answer to that. But that's beautiful.
I'm just going to give you a crazy answer.
Your assignment caused me to start really paying attention.
Yeah, I love that. It's
like, wait a minute, this isn't making sense.
I'm going to give you another Tracy answer. I think it's because you were beamed up on a ship and you didn't get to see the Moon because they zapped you up and then wiped your memory.
Oh my gosh.
Wiped your memory, no less. Wow. I like that answer. I like
what
it.
What else can I come up with?
A little scary, but I like
here's
it.
Another one. Here's another one.
Okay, do these constellations look different to people? I mean, I realize you're saying, okay, I'm like, they're in different positions. I get that because that is the, you know, that's what astrology is all about. These constellations, they move and things.
But they don't move, but the Earth moves. The Earth.
Okay.
And the Earth moves around the Sun and the Sun, you know, the Sun is stationary and the planets move around. The wanderers are the planets. The constellations themselves move very little in the sky. Very, you know, in our lifetime, we'll barely move.
So is Orion looking different? Orion's belt. I mean, to me, it looks like a butterfly now.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think so. I think that's just, I think maybe you're seeing a deeper level. That's all.
Yeah, Tracy's over there. I'm just like, I know that used to look different. And now it looks like these three stars and it almost looks like wings.
Well, what we should do is we should give Tamara a chance at answering your questions and then give me a chance at answering.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what I think is happening is the same ship is now cloaking the sky. But their digital system for cloaking has a quirk in it, and it butterflied the Saturn. What did you ask about the constellations? It's all getting messed up because their cloaking device is on the outs, and they need to upgrade their system. That's what
they need to upgrade their system. I like that one. Yes.
Okay. Next question. I'm liking
next this. Question. Hey,
If nothing else, will you go out and look at the sky? I mean, be curious, like I am, start looking at the sky and see if you're seeing anything different or just see what you see. Maybe nothing, but that's all it is. I just got curious. It's like
that. Robin says that I see it that way also, Julia.
As a butterfly?
I think somebody's brown nosing a little bit in the chat room. Don't know, but just saying.
Yeah,
there's Tracy with no filter.
I was not in the retrograde. Okay, wonderful.
Anyway,
there was a big ship in the sky. See, now I'm getting some confirmation. So you couldn't see the Moon because the ship was in the way.
Looking it. Yes.
That one I can get on board with.
Yes.
Well, you probably did. I think
cloaking thing too. I guess the ship was cloaked and it just looked like stars.
Right. And they blocked the Moon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that makes sense.
Okay. Right. I'm on board with that one. That's good.
That one's a good one.
That's a good one.
The conspiracy is settled.
Yes.
Okay.
Now if I go out tonight and there's a Moon. You left me.
Guys. Yeah.
Now be prepared for some technical information coming your way, Julia, because I'm going to resolve
wonderful
this dilemma.
And it won't be a ship, and it won't be a cloaking, and it won't be a...
I don't think so. Nope. I'm sorry, Tracy. I'm so sorry.
I just got to be here to add a little spice to it is all.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You know, just to give the the options. We have to know our options. You know, there's always alternative views.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, anyway, so let's come back to, Tamara, you were, let's may remind everybody how to find you. Again, thank you so much for being here, but I know people, oh my gosh, this has got everybody really like what's here happening for me, because you can do people's charts and help them to understand where they're headed through the year and years to come and what's going on and make sense of life. And
yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, that's again, what I love about astrology. It gives us a little bit of insight, and it helps prepare us to be skilled, you know, as skilled as we can be in the moment. So yes, I you can get me at, astro@tamara.ca. That's the easy one. Navigatingthestars.ca. I also do teach a beginner's class, beginners, like don't even know the glyphs, know there's constellations up there, don't know what they're all about, but would love to know. I teach that class at Kepler College. So you could, it's a beginner workshop, 15 weeks long. It won't start until, it'll be a handful of weeks away before it starts up a new class, but that would be fun if anyone's really interested in, should I dip my toe in that astrological water? That's a good class for that.
Is that online?
It is online. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. And then do you have a link to that on your site?
I'll put a link to that on my site. Yes, I will. Navigatingthestars.ca. Thanks, guys.
Oh, hold on. Navigating the Stars.
And so before I went into all that weird, you know, all the other stuff and everything, I want us to get back to your final message of what you wanted to leave everyone with, because that was so beautiful. So I want that to be the final word about the, you know, using these things to help us move forward and not go to fear. And so if you can restate that as eloquently as you did before.
Oh my gosh, restating sometimes that just comes out of me, you know, it was thought in there and then it's gone. But
well, so you can say it however you want to. I mean, I just feel like I want to end it on that. So however you want.
Yes. And that's really why I'm here. Thank you guys for giving me this venue to say to people, I don't want you to fear the future. I want you to walk into the future with confidence and be skilled. You know, be the observer, take that energy and, you know, just step back and take a look at how can you make that the best energy possible in your life. Watch your finances. I'm always into the finance. I want people to be secure and feel safe. This is going to be a great year for some deep cellular healing. So taking those dates, I think those are great dates where we could all get together on the astro plane, we'll say, and do a wonderful, deep cellular healing. That would be fantastic. I think this is going to be a great year for that. And let's make this, you know, the best year ever. I mean, we've made it through 2020. I think that we just need to embrace this and say, hey, how do I want my life to look and walk into it with confidence. So thanks for letting me talk about the subject I love. I love to talk about and
can't wait to have you on again.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll be soliciting that. maybe on June 14th and December 24th and maybe April 27th, we'll be like, hey, what you doing?
Come what you doing? Well, we could always do a quarterly. We could do a quarterly update to see how we're all faring with the energy and, I'll pull some.
That's a great habit for everybody to do anyway, to check in on yourselves, you know, because we don't tend to do that at all. And maybe, usually like the once a year is about, that's why the resolutions come in. That's where we're checking in with ourselves. Quarterly is wonderful. It's like, okay, how we doing? What do you think? Because you can
quarterly resolutions.
Yeah.
Be accountable.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Julia, Donna, let's talk about this.
Yes. What about?
So, Soul Speak. Talk about your Soul Speak. How do people find your website and your class for Soul Speak?
And yeah, then, the pressure cooker that I was feeling through this last year was to get Soul Speak into an online course, to create an online course around it. And I did. I mean, it was just like, you have to now. I'd only been working about it and thinking about it for about 5 years. So, you know, and it was like that, but that's what I get it. You know, it was like, no, you have to do it now. And it was just enough playing and, it's serious business now. So do it. It's time. It was wonderful. But anyway, so that's Soul Speak. And see, but then that's kind of my tendency is I'm going off into a story here. I know you didn't mean to do that, Tracy, but I guess I feel like there's somebody wants to hear this. I think my thing is I tend to procrastinate and I tend to like put it off. And like Soul Speak, the book took me 7 years to write. You know, it was the same thing. I was doing the same thing until the pressure cooker came and I actually heard them say to me, you have 1 year. If you don't do it in this 1 year, we're giving it to someone else. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. that's mine. Wait a minute.
They do give it to someone else. So yeah, that does happen. Mm-hmm. You don't act on it, then next thing you know, somebody else put out your idea, and it's like,
exactly. It had to get out there, you know. And like Tamara was saying, sometimes you'll have inventions, you know, by several people at the same time, yeah. And that's one of the reasons it's just lowered down into the mm-hmm. cosmos or whatever. And just because you have it doesn't mean it's yours. It's, you know, and I don't see this as. It's like, I know it comes from somewhere else. It's coming through me. I get that. And so I can see how it could have easily been given to anybody else and they would have run with it. And so it was like, okay, I had to act on it. So I got the book done. And once I did that, once I started just acting, it fell into place very, very quickly. Well, the same with the course. I mean, I had it like half done. I had the outline. I had all these parts. I had the understanding of what I wanted to do, but I just didn't know how to get it into application. And then whenever I got that pressure cooker, it was like, okay, I started studying on what to do, how to do it, and all these different platforms. And then it just came together. And it actually came together pretty quickly. You know, so that's what I think some of this stuff is. Like you're saying, it's like it's that movement back and forth. The first times we're just thinking it through, trying to figure it out. And you're doing a lot of preparatory work. And then the final stage, if you're not getting it done yet, then you're going to get that big push because right. You have to get it done. That is probably something you had in place for yourself to do. And I know it was for me. I'm sure it was. So anyway, that's, I don't know why I had to say all that story, but I did.
So, well, I want to say in the chat room, another little Canadian friend of ours, Renee, is saying, I just finished the online Soul Speak course and I am looking forward to the video meet with Julia. So profound and great timing. So that's another piece to it too, is that you do a live video.
What I offer, after you complete the course, then you have two live sessions with me in a group setting, and we go through any other questions, if you have other things you're trying to work through, but it's making sure you understand how the process works. And so we'll work together through all of this. And actually, Renee, I just haven't gotten it posted yet, but I will have one on Monday. So be looking out for your notice.
Awesome. And how do people find the QHHT classes and mm-hmm. practitioners?
Okay, so let's go on Soul Speak. You find it at juliacannon.com. And that will take you right to the page. That'll link you right on through to the course. And then the QHHT, the Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique Sessions, and how to learn that my mother developed, that's at the QHHTofficial.com website. And you can get everything you need there. There'll be links all over the place. all over the place. And, you know, Tracy has a code if you want to share that, or you have an affiliate.
The magic is real is my code. It's all one word when you punch it in. The magic is real, because that is my, actually, you can't tell up here, but somebody made me this cute little Tracy Mahan logo thing, and underneath it says hashtag the magic is real right there.
Nice.
And, but yeah, that is my go-to just to bring the magic into this world. We have so much going on with such amazing things happening all around us all the time. So that's my code. Please use it. So yeah.
But anyway, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tamara, again, so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, wonderful. Sharing your wealth of eloquent knowledge. And love it. And thank you for bringing it into practical terms and easy to live by terms.
Thank you.
And thank you for your mission being the letting go of fear, because to me, that's huge. That is a huge thing for us to do now, is just recognize fear for what it is and let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very so, nice.
Thank Excellent. You. Yeah. And thank you, Tracy, as always. Love
yes.
you.
Love you both. Can't wait until we do it again at the quarter.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, good night, everybody, and happy new year, and let's go make it great.
Yeah. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.